This is The Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Mike and Scott. This story is from our episode, The Ocean and Us. You can find us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. We owe a lot to the sea. It gives us food to eat, water to drink, and oxygen in the air that we breathe. In return, we're not always very appreciative. Nowadays, our impact on the ocean, our marine footprint, is bigger than it's ever been. Steph Yin looked into one way our presence in the sea has majorly increased.
Will West is in a part of the world most of us can't even fathom visiting.
So hello from 359 feet in the Indian Ocean, off the island of Poivre.
Poivre is in the Seychelles, off the coast of East Africa, and Will is 359 feet below the sea's surface, in a deep-sea submersible. He's with a team of scientists who are on a mission to demystify the ocean's twilight zone, beyond the reach of the sun's rays. It's toward the end of their dive, and they've just come across a rich habitat.
Some larger fish, lots of urchins, a larger shark came darting by too quickly for us to tell what type it was.
The mission is led by the Necton Oxford Deep Ocean Research Institute, based in England.
We're going to be ascending soon. We've been down for over 2.5, nearly 3 hours now, so it's time to come back. Although the sub can last down here for much, much longer, we need to get back on deck before it's dark.
One of the things Will's team is here to study is plastics. Specifically, tiny pieces of plastic practically invisible to the naked eye, called microplastics. In the past decade or so, scientists have started finding plastics and microplastics all over the ocean. When we think of plastic in the ocean, we tend to think of it floating on the surface. Maybe you've heard of the Great Pacific Garbage Patch and envision an island-sized carpet of trash floating in the middle of the sea, but...
That's just the literal scratch on the surface, right?
That's Randy Rogin, a research assistant professor at Boston University.
I mean, plastic is a complicated topic because there's what you see, and everyone, I think, envisions plastic trash or styrofoam or cups, but all of that breaks down into really, really small particles.
Randy works in the Phoenix Islands, in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. She says, microplastics are suspended all throughout the water column and buried in the sea floor, too. It's more like flecks of spice and seasoning distributed throughout a bowl of soup than spots of fat you can skim off the surface. Randy spends a lot of her time studying plastics, but she doesn't particularly want to be a plastics researcher.
I don't really have a choice. Plastic just keeps showing up in all of our samples. Every sample we've looked at in any ecosystem that we've looked at across the globe, plastic has been part of the story, and it's been impossible to ignore.
To get to the Phoenix Islands protected area where Randy works, you have to travel 7 days by boat from Hawaii. Even there, in a protected area, in one of the most remote places on Earth, scientists find plastics enmeshed in samples they take from the sea surface.
And those are all typically microplastics that are floating in a place that's so far away that the closest people to us when we're out there are on the International Space Station. It's pretty scary.
Randy and other researchers are starting to suspect that there's no part of the ocean left untouched by plastic. Recently, a study found for the first time that tiny deep-sea creatures living in the Pacific's Mariana Trench are eating staggering amounts of plastic.
It's terrifying because Mariana Trench is the deepest part of our planet.
The Mariana Trench is 36,000 feet below sea level. It's a zone where the ocean floor is sinking into the interior of the Earth, going deeper and deeper until it melts. If you were to take Mount Everest and drop it in the deepest part of the trench, you'd still have more than a mile of water above it. Even in that abyss, there's life. Specifically, little shrimp-like creatures called amphipods, about the size of the pull tab on a soda can. The researchers found plastic in the guts of over 70% of the amphipods they collected. They also found high levels of toxins called PCBs in the amphipods' bodies. Randy walked me through how scientists go about collecting tiny deep-sea creatures. Typically, they use a remotely operated vehicle, or if they're lucky, a manned submersible.
They have suction samplers, which are kind of like little vacuums, which will suction up sediment and then deposit that sediment into some kind of jar or box that will then be brought up to the surface.
On the surface, scientists do delicate dissections under the microscope, like a very fine-tuned autopsy. In the guts they crack open, they find microplastics of all types, perfectly round beads, thin pointy fibers, odd-shaped miscellanea. There's red, blue, green, purple, pink, like bits of a kaleidoscope.
They're very colorful, and I normally love, you know, rainbows in the sky, but not rainbows in the guts of organisms.
Then scientists analyze each sample's molecular structure to figure out specifically what type of plastic they're looking at. That helps them guess where the plastic might have come from. Say it's a polyamide. That might be from nylon rope used on boats. Cellulose acetate? Likely from a cigarette butt. I wanted to understand the bigger picture of where all this plastic comes from and how it ends up in the deep sea. So I called up Emily Penn. She's the founder of X Expedition, a group that runs all women sailing voyages around the world to raise awareness about plastic pollution.
So 8 million tons of plastic leave land down drains, streams, rivers, and waterways flowing into the ocean. And that's every year.
Just to give you a sense, that's equal to dumping a garbage truck full of plastic into the ocean every minute. There are many ways plastic ends up there. Many countries dump their garbage directly into the ocean. And in countries with trash collection, plastic escapes on its way to and at the landfill, then flows downstream. You might say, okay, well, I'm a diligent recycler. But the truth is, globally, only 9% of plastic is recycled. All that garbage is considered macroplastic. Macroplastic ends up in the ocean, gets worn down by the sun's UV rays, waves, and wind action, and eventually becomes microplastics. There are also a couple big direct sources of microplastics. One is, as your car tires wear down, little fibers come off and go down storm drains. The other is the fibers that come off synthetic fabrics we wash in our washing machines. Think of all the stuff in your dryer lint draining into the ocean. The twist is, researchers have only found a tiny fraction of the plastic that leaves land on the ocean's surface. So the big question is, where is the rest of it?
What we expect is happening is that it's actually sinking, particularly when it gets out to these deep parts of the world. And it gets coated in algae, it gets barnacles that grow on it, and then that makes that plastic heavier than water, and it sinks to the bottom.
It sinks further and further down, and that's how plastic gets in places like the Mariana Trench and ends up in our deep-sea friends, the amphipods. Randy, the marine ecologist, says plastic in these little guys' guts is a big deal.
It has the potential to crash food webs, right, if organisms aren't getting the nutrition that they need because their bellies are full, but they have no nutrition because they're full of microplastics instead of food. I mean, that just doesn't bode well for the continuation of healthy marine ecosystems.
And those microplastics come back to us. After all, we're at the top of those food webs.
I am from Saipan, which is the largest island in the Northern Mariana Islands.
That's Angelo Villagomez. He has a lot of firsthand experience with the ocean and seafood.
When I was growing up, I could go down to the beach, look out to the ocean, and we will say, well, that's the deepest water in the world. The Mariana Trench is right out there.
For Angelo, plastic and PCB pollution in the Mariana Trench isn't some abstract problem.
You know, I don't think of it as this far-off place. I think of it as there's plastic and pollution in my backyard. And, you know, this is the backyard where we're catching our dinner. That's where we got most of our food.
Angelo's relationship with the ocean started early. As a kid, he was always outside, surrounded by the sea. It was also a big part of his culture.
I'm an indigenous Chamorro. My family is very proud to be Chamorro. You know, it affects all aspects of our life, from politics to what we eat and how we live.
The Chamorro are the native inhabitants of the Mariana Islands, and fishing is woven into their way of life. Angelo started fishing with his father when he was 8.
Those were my earliest lessons in conservation. I can remember coconut crab hunting late at night, and we came across a crab, and it was covered in eggs. And I can remember my father saying, no, we don't touch the coconut crab when it has eggs, because if we take that crab, your kids won't have crabs when it's their turn to go coconut crab hunting.
Angelo says the fact that plastics are entering wild food chains particularly affects indigenous communities.
Indigenous people, as a whole, our diets consist of wild animals more than other folks. So if these poisons are leaching into the food that we're eating, those poisons are then leaching into us.
Today, Angelo works for the Pew Bertarelli Ocean Legacy Project, which fights for the creation of marine protected areas. He says plastics are just one threat marine environments are facing.
And Steph,
Angelo just used the word poison. Are we all being poisoned by plastic in the ocean? What do we know about the health impact of this plastic?
So plastic does have toxic compounds in it, things like PCBs, BPA, phthalates. Those have been linked to cancer and hormone disruptions. And plastic is also probably absorbing other chemicals in the ocean, like pesticides. The thing is, we're not directly eating physical bits of plastic that often because we're not actually eating the stomachs of fish. But what might be happening is that the poisons are leaching from the guts of these animals into the rest of their body and traveling up the food web. And that's really bad because there's a process by which these poisons get concentrated. The higher up they go, they're not digested, so they stick around, and higher level predators like us build up higher and more dangerous concentrations.
What are researchers learning about this and the direct cause and effect here?
A lot of this research is kind of just starting and is very preliminary. It might be decades before scientists have proof of cause and effect. And that's for a couple reasons. One is it's hard to find a control group of people not exposed to plastics. We're all exposed all the time. And two, a lot of these diseases can take a long time to develop.
I think a lot of people are concerned about these issues, both from a health perspective, but also, of course, from the perspective of the health of the ocean. So what are some things that could be done to reduce our footprint and all of this plastic?
Yeah, so I mean, the first thing is that we just heard that most of this plastic might be in the seafloor. And so cleanup isn't really an option. It's not like we can take a big vacuum to the seafloor. So that leaves us with reducing the amount of plastic we're using on land. And that's going to have to be a multi-pronged effort because it's such a big problem. So advocates say, you know, the big polluters in industry have a big responsibility to reduce their footprint and look for new materials like compostable plastics. Governments need to support those shifts and also incentivize more recycling through maybe standardizing the plastic we can recycle to the few bits that are best to recycle. And then on a consumer level, people like you and I, we can reduce our plastic and particularly reduce single-use plastic use. So that is the one cup of coffee, you get it and you throw it away after an hour, because plastic is really designed to last forever. So it's not meant to be this temporary one-use thing.
No more iced coffee.
Bring a tumbler.
Yes. Thank you, Steph.
Thanks, Megan.